Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 21st, 2019. In turmoil, most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you haven't already, please do it tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, cell phone number, 316-619-4886. If you use my cell, text me first if you are on a smartphone because of, solicitors that have been calling. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news of Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all on a ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, folks, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally. It's on YouTube. It's on some FM station. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Antalya, Turkey, Athens, Greece, Ohio, Ahvaz, Iran. Now I'm getting like my wife. Anyway, Sydney, Australia. And, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Stockton, California, Henderson, Nevada, Austin, Texas, and Omaha, Nebraska, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Please follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Now, prayer. We'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Lift the veil from them, Father, please. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, we've been talking about the temple. We just got through talking with Dr. Tom Horn about it. And he's of the conclusion also, as with most people in Christianity, that the temple will bring on the Antichrist. I don't believe it's something that we can pray off, because if you pray off the Antichrist, you're praying Yeshua off. So is it a good or a bad thing? The real question is it a good thing or a bad thing for America if the temple gets rebuilt? Well, tonight we have back on with us Professor Tom Mack. Tom Mack retired. He is the principal owner of White Cottage Publishing Company. He lives in Trinidad, Colorado. He's an A-plus certified computer technician and net certified network technician, as well as a book designer, web designer, and webmaster. In the past, he's even been an airport administrator, IT administrator, IT manager, and controller. We should also mention that at one time he was a tax specialist. Tom also has did research with Bible code since 1996. That's over 20 years of code research. This is the kind of background we need to talk for somebody tonight about this particular subject. Wow. Anyway, so welcome now, Tom Mack. You there with me, Tom?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, well, you sound good. You're coming in good. And over there in Colorado, just for a question, are you guys got got snow over there?
There's snow on the ground.
Yeah, a lot.
Not really. In the mountains there is, but I don't go up there this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember one time I took somebody to Colorado a long, long, long time ago, and we went into this place, and it was before I was, you know, a pastor when I was real young, and we went in and played some pool and was in there for about 2 hours, and I came out, and there was literally 2 foot of snow on my car, and I had to shovel off to even get out of the driveway. But anyway, this subject, we've been talking about this subject. We talked about it, I guess you said, a year and a half ago. I remember the program. But here's the critical thing. The temple, what do you think? I mean, is it going to be a good thing for people, or do they just not grasp the fact that this temple will bring in the Antichrist? Because, you know, I pointed out in a program last night on Omega Man's program that, you know, the temple that is the righteous temple is going to be built by Yeshua. That's what the word says, and it says it over and over. But we're not here to discuss that part. So this temple that looks like is about to be rebuilt, what do you think? Back to you.
Okay. When we went on May 4th, I looked up the date. May 4th, 2017, in case people want to go back and look at that program. I had completed some Bible codes. We'd been hearing rumors even back then that there was talk of them rebuilding the temple. And the question we posed to the Bible codes was he going to do it? Because if indeed Donald Trump is involved in the building of the final temple, I call it the final because there's been four others, then we are talking a situation that will not be good for this country. In fact, it could be the very one thing that could bring us to judgment. And I say that only, I'm not saying a thus saith the Lord type thing. I'm only saying that this is something that could happen. And
well,
but the codes aren't so nice.
Let me say. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I thought you said. Go ahead.
Yeah. The codes, the first word on my little list called Trump Temple 2, Donald Trump makes the deal. The first word in the code is defile. And, of course, Jerusalem's in there. Beast is in there. Antichrist, I have a different story on Antichrist than most people. One, the word Antichrist only appears in two epistles of John. So I have a hard time seeing this as a person. When you study beast in the Old Testament, beast always refers to nations and to political entities. And so when I started looking through this, seeing the temple, seeing what we're dealing with, we've already got a beast system. Revelation 17 pretty much describes it and also makes ties back to the Old Testament so that we can understand it from there, because one of the gravest mistakes you can make in studying the Bible is to take something, draw doctrine out of the New Testament, but not tie back to the Old to make sure you're not pulling things out of context. Because the New Testament by itself, you could make it say pretty much what you want it to say. But if
sure. I'm going to let me butt in for a second. I agree with
sure.
that. I do definitely agree with that. In fact, I'm now in the process. You know, I've been praying for years. I started a couple of books, but it just wasn't what I – anyway, but now I have a book in my head, and it's coming out on paper. It's going to be easy breezy to write it. And what it is about is the Old Testament, where all it appears in the New Testament, And it's going to be a great work. So I'm doing a work right now along those lines. Back to you.
And it's one of those things here where if you look at Revelation 17, you see a beast with 7 heads, 10 horns. And that's pretty much, you're talking the 10 royal families of Europe. And those 10 royal families in the 19th century literally ruled most of the world. But World War I came, and slowly they started getting deposed. And slowly they started falling, the whole system started falling apart. Germany lost its Kaiser. Italy kicked out Victor Emmanuel II. The French had already deposed the Bourbons in 1796. Right now, Sweden's king is a figurehead. Spain's king is a figurehead. The Netherlands king, they're all figureheads. However, behind the scenes, they still control large corporations. And, for example, Royal Dutch Shell is controlled by the King of the Netherlands. And all these people need, or part of the 10 royal families. Now, the interesting thing is Daniel talks about the fact that 3 of those will be put down by the beast. 3 of them are going to lose their power. And the 10 beasts, or the 10 horns, are 10 kings. And this is an important thing to understand. And right now I'm seeing that this third temple is a big part of their project. And for Donald Trump, it would be the crowning jewel of his real estate development career if he could build this third temple. And as you look through the code, you know, you look for good things, but I see George Soros' name in here. His real name is Schwartz, but Georgie Schwartz. But he changed his name because, well, he was a lieutenant in the SS.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't quite go around if you have that kind of a reputation. The name Malia appears. Yes, it's the first name of Barack Obama's, quote, daughter. And you see Lilith in here. Now, Lilith is the mother of Malia in the spirit world. You see Cain involved. You see the demon god Pan, Lucifer, Anak. You see the phrase evil plan or device. And you also see talking with a familiar spirit or a necromancer. You also see one that really scares me is Nergal. I don't know if you ever went to see the Exorcist movie in 1973.
Oh, sure. Who hasn't seen the Exorcist?
Well,
I mean, you know.
Remember in the first part of the movie, they were unearthing a temple?
Right. Yeah, I do.
That temple was to Nergal. That's in this code. And I started looking at that, and I'm saying, well, and finally the phrase, use witchcraft's also in there. And so I realize, one, this man wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. And this is a deal. And he's disregarding everything the Old Testament says you need to do to build a temple. And building it on the Temple Mount, that would be the height of folly. And boy, I look at these things and I'm just asking myself, what is going on here? And then the other day, somebody sent me a bunch of pictures. The Pope went to all places in the world, the United Arab Emirates. And he signed an agreement there. We haven't gotten the text of it. It's probably in Latin, so I'd have to find a nun to translate it for me. Or else just use Google Translate. But I haven't seen this document yet.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly it's some kind of memorandum of peace between Islam and the Catholic Church, which is significant in sort of a way because we have, what, seven crusades where the Catholic Church literally declared war on Islam. And they tried to free Jerusalem. They succeeded once, failed six times.
Right. And you know, recently, I'm going to throw this in while my memory keeps it up. I talked about it in the last, I talked about it last couple of programs, but recently the Pope, Pope Francis, did an agreement in front of the whole world and brought in a whole bunch of other nations and did an agreement with Islam about it, that God would accept, found it all religions acceptable and are trying to bring a court in for a one world religion. And I'm not saying that he is the Antichrist or man of sin, but he could very clearly be the false prophet. But the point is this is another step towards this rebuilding of the temple. And something else to throw in there real quick. You mentioned Donald Trump and the tower. Now, again, folks, this this ministry here, we do not. Donald Trump helps build the temple or gets it done, it's inevitable that this is going to get done. Number two, he would not be doing it for any nefarious reason. Number three, you know, did you know that there is actually a plan for a different kind of a temple that has a whole bunch of different floors in it? It's almost like a skyscraper. And it is supposedly out there that they're working on that so that all the these different religions could have a floor or, you know, a sanctuary unto themselves. Which is just one of the plans that I'm hearing out there. Back to you.
Yeah, well, it looks like we're almost closing in on the front part of the hour. So, yeah, I have seen some of that, too, and that it will definitely is not going to be the design that we've seen the other four times. Not in Solomon's, not in Ezra's, not in Herod's, and not in Bar Kokhba's.
Anything that alters different. See, people don't get it. There's so many people that just don't read their Bible. Ezekiel 40, Ezekiel 40 to 48 describes and lays out everything for the temple that Yeshua will build, the branch will build, is what the world's word says. And it says it in more than just one scripture besides Ezekiel. I think it's in Jeremiah and something else. I quoted him last night. But the branch will rebuild that temple, and there are specific dimensions to it. And if anything alters from those dimensions in any way, shape, or form, it cannot be the final temple, the holy temple that Yeshua will reign from. Back to you.
Yes. And the most interesting thing about this is that it's not going to be to specs, and but they honestly think they're going to do this, and they're going to create a new United Nations based on this.
Really, I hadn't heard that part.
Well, supposedly 70 nations have already signed on to this.
Yes, I do know that. I didn't know that would replace the United Nations. But yes, I do know that 70 nations. In fact, when they rededicated the altar, Israel, and when they did that sacrifice, recently, they invited the nations to come and witness. And then, like I say, this peace accord that they're trying to do with the religions to bring in a one world religion that says God except for all was nations. So these are the things that are stacking up. So, Tom, have you re-ran that code? And you can answer it after break. Tell the people where they can find that. We'll come back and talk after break.
Okay, we can. I'll tell them when we get back, because this is loaded.
Okay, well, where can they find the website?
Oh, go to BibleCodes.co, CO for Colorado. And if you want to find the specific Bible code in my narrative, go to Final Temple over on the right side in the list of topics.
Okay, amen. Folks, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Folks, I sent this already over to the pastor's page, so you can find the link there. We'll put this specific link to this code, as I do with all of Tom's links to his programs when it goes to podcast later tonight. But right now, we got to go for a break, and we'll be right back.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing to help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. For Jesus is the true vine. Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. But be thankful that we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. His time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful that we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. And soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's picked for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful if we've been pruned. Must be thankful.
In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul informs us that as believers we are not under the law but under grace. In the very next sentence, he asks the question, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Answering his own question, stating, God forbid, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? We see here that believers must not yield themselves to the practice of sin. it will result in death. No, Jesus did not die in order that we might continue in the practice of sin. In the past, those who chose to practice sin died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We are cautioned of even worse punishment for believers who choose to sin willfully, counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and doing despite unto the Spirit of grace. Yes, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Paul explains, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we ask you to pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, where we take care of the homeless and poor. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about the people that come in from that have jobs, but and they keep a roof over their head, barely, but they can't get everything for food, clothing, and all these such things. They come in for first aid, looking for all kinds of things, over-the-counter medications, things that we give, Bibles. We can't keep Bibles. We try to give out large print King James Version Bibles, but, you know, King James Version Bibles we prefer, and I don't care if they're used. People send them in. If you live in Wichita, you can donate clothing. There's many, many things you can do, and I've been telling folks that if you want to donate $100, that will pay for a meal for that day, which will consist of, all the basic, some of the basic food groups. You know, it'll be a great meal, things like spaghetti and salad with it and bread, really good stuff. And, you know, people brag about Pastor Dan's spaghetti. It's some of the best in the country. Actually, it is. But the point is, we try to give our best to the people. A $100 donation will feed up to 70 people and more sometimes. So pray about that. If you want to support today, say, here's $100, and just put food on it or whatever. We also are trying – now, sometimes you folks say, well, I heard some scratchy noise or this or that. We're trying to upgrade our office because our office hasn't been upgraded in years. So pray about it. We still need $230 for a new mixer board. And a few other things. Somebody that I can't say what his name is, but it's somebody that is one of the bigger radio people out there, donated a really good computer. So we've got a brand new computer on the way that it's reburnished, but it's got all the great stuff in it, and it's really fast. So we've got a new computer coming. We still need some other things. So pray about it. Pray about it. We was asking for $1,200 to get the remodel work done here in the office, but now we only need about between $500 and $700. We'll get everything done, and everything will be up to par, and we'll be good to go for a number of years. So pray about it. Also, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. Now, you can donate online or over the telephone or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, you are listening to radio. So consider a donation for radio airtime as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. And if you're making a donation for radio, make sure you mark it, say radio on it. Otherwise, if you don't mark your donations, we just use it in whatever is the greatest need at that time. Okay, if you need help with any of that, you can call me at 620-878-4682 or 316-619-4886. And now we're back talking with Tom Mack about some Bible codes that have to do with the rebuilding of the temple. Back to you, Tom, if you're still there.
Oh, yes, I'm still here. And, you know, one thing I did neglected to mention when I talked about the Pope visiting the United Arab Emirates, one of the first things that came to my mind was, why would he go there? And if anyone's ever looked at a map, the United Arab Emirates is about the size of Rhode Island or Connecticut. It's not very big. But then I remembered that is where the banking is done in the Middle East. If anybody in the Middle East wants to move money, they have to go to Abu Dhabi and do it there. And so I started saying, okay, behind all these photo ops, we have a man who's getting ready to move a bunch of money. What could he be moving it for? And so that's the next question that I'll have to answer is, what is he moving that money for?
Now, for the people, for the people, who did you say is moving money?
Excuse me?
You said you were talking about somebody getting ready to move money. I said, for the people, repeat who you're talking about.
The Roman Catholic Church.
Right. Okay. That's what I thought you said. But, you know, sometimes you have to double do it. It just saves me from having to answer them later by asking you to repeat. So that's just kind of the way it is in talk radio.
Yeah.
You.
But, you know, you have to go back and remember when Donald Trump was elected and put in office 2017, what did he do for his first trip? He went to Saudi Arabia. He had a meeting with the king of Saudi Arabia and with a few other people. They signed a defense treaty, which pretty much keeps Iran from crossing the Persian Gulf and invading Saudi Arabia, which they've threatened to do for years and years and years. Then Donald Trump goes to Israel. He talks to Benjamin Netanyahu, talks to Mahmoud Abbas, sits in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. But I forgot another thing about his trip to Saudi Arabia. Remember that the king of Saudi Arabia, the president of Egypt, and Donald Trump put their hands on a light orb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. I saw that. That was really weird. What? There was a picture floating. Isn't there a picture floating around of that someplace?
Yes, it's on my website.
Oh, is it on your website?
Yes, it was such an interesting picture. I put it on my website. And that really, it caught my attention because that's something out of the occult.
Well, it sure looks that way. I mean, you know, folks, I don't like to prejudge anybody or anything, especially when it's, you know, it's one big picture. But that picture has got to make a person ask questions, you know. And did Trump know that he was doing something nefarious? I don't believe. Here's what I need to give the people this about Trump, you know. When he came into office, there was I know, and I've talked with some ministers that know ministers that minister to him personally and so on and so forth, and I've heard testimony and testimony after testimony. The grand conclusion is this. Yeah, he was a sinful guy, but he's like a lot of Christians. You get saved, and they believe that he made a recommitment to Jesus Christ, really did it when he came into office, and he is trying to act in the church's behalf. He really is. But he's like a lot, like so many baby Christians out there. They get saved, but they really don't, they haven't listened to the word yet. They really don't know what sin is and what's right and wrong because they're just baby Christians. All they've had is baby milk. They haven't had strong thing. And so you have a person like that, and he's trying to do the best that he can. I don't believe there's nefarious in his actions. But that doesn't mean some of the things he does is right. You know what I mean, Tom?
Yes. I'm not sure what he knows and what he doesn't know. You know, a lot of these things I think are put in front of him, and I don't think he totally understands the implications. To him,
right.
It's a photo op. He's done photo ops for years and years and years.
Right.
You know, we keep forgetting sometimes that with Donald Trump, it was always about the brand, the Trump
right.
brand. He's
sure.
a businessman. He sells.
Yeah.
And
I
to
have
him,
some... go ahead.
To him, it's all about selling the brand.
Right. But right, and that's what he's technically doing right now. See, he's selling the brand of America Great Again and of a powerful America, and that's what he's doing. He is trying to work on our behalf. And the whole problem is which we need to get to in a minute, is why it would be bad for America if indeed he footers along the temple. It could be bad, maybe not. But while I'm thinking of this, I want to ask you about something else, and we've got time right now. It's something I think I want you to look up with Bible codes. Have you ever heard of the Copper Scroll Project?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Started by Bendel Jones.
Bendel Jones, but then another guy, and Bendel Jones could not figure it out. But another guy did. Now, let me, this I know is a fact. I just talked to Tom Horn about it, and I listened to the girl that wrote the book about it. Point is another guy, has picked it up, and he has basically the Copper Scroll is a treasure map. And in other writings, it talks about how, different things were hidden in Israel, and it was all written down on just a basic Copper Scroll. They believe that this Copper Scroll is, A, been found, and, two, that they are finding things, and have strong confirmation from Tom Horn, who believes they may have even found the temple treasure with this, and which would be a critical thing. And so I would you should listen to my last program with Tom Horn and explain it, but I'd like to see what a Bible code would do with that. But back to you now.
Interesting, because a couple of years ago, Roy Cottage Publishing published a book called The Copper Scroll Incident. Had nothing to do with that. Had everything to do with the scroll that the prophet Nahum hid that was only supposed to be discovered in the end times. It's fiction, of course.
And that's the point. They think that this is a scroll that they find. They finally found. Bendel Jones could not open it. This other guy opened it, and he said, and it said it's nothing but a treasure map, and he was able to locate the places in Qumran where it's at, even a cave that possibly is hidden, the temple treasure. And so it is really dynamite stuff, and I've just been exposed to it. I haven't read the book yet, but I talked with Tom tonight earlier about it, and I listened to another program that Tom did. It was out on Roku yesterday. I was listening to about it, and it's dynamite stuff. And you should really listen to the program I did with Tom. Tom knows a lot more than he is allowed to say right now, because
right.
They made him sign a non-disclosure agreement over all this stuff. But I would like to see what a code would say, and I know you would find this interesting because of that book you wrote, or that was, you know, the Copper Scroll Incident. But anyway, it's dynamite stuff. what we need to get to, I really do, you can make comment about that, but then we need to get to the probabilities. And the last time we did something to Israel, like made the people move out of Gaza, we had, that was Katrina, right, in New Orleans.
Yes.
Well, so what could we possibly get if we help build the Antichrist temple?
Well, honestly, judgment. You know, we've heard people warn of judgment of to America since, well, we have George Washington's vision, for one. And you can find that many places on the Internet. Second one that's most famous is A.A. Allen's vision that he got while standing at the top of the Empire State Building, supposedly looking out one of the telescopes. And then we've had several since then that have won. Henry Groover's famous vision. And
let's not forget Dmitry Dudeman.
Yes, and then we had Dmitry Dudeman, and his were, he wrote a book about it. And Major Tom Baird just recently wrote one, The Sharp Edge of the Sword. We're publishing that, and he's warned about these things, and we've had repeated warnings, but the thing that's remained is what pushes us over the edge, and how much time do we have? Now, if you go back and look in the Bible, go to 2 Chronicles 33, we did not see that place come until King Manasseh, remember, Manasseh means to forget. When King Manasseh used witchcraft and actually made Judah commit worse sins than the people the Lord drove out of the promised land so that Israel could move in. At that point, they became worse. And Manasseh ended up getting captured, taken to Babylon. He repented. He was allowed to come back to Jerusalem and rule. Then you had King Josiah, who was probably the number three king on the list. And then after Josiah, you had Zedekiah and Jeconiah, and they weren't good kings. And it wasn't very long. It was something like 35 years. I think it'll be a lot quicker according to this code. And also, if you read the book of Zechariah, I believe it's in chapter 12, it warns about anyone who would move the stone of Jerusalem. And we saw Great Britain try to move the stone of Jerusalem. Guess what happened? They have now fallen into disrepair, and they were just totally demolished by World War II, and their economy never recovered.
Well, England right now, let's throw this out right now. England right now, I believe, is falling under judgment. They're falling to Islam. I mean, you know, just like the rest of Europe is falling suit, because they've all bought into the one world globalist idea of things. And so, you know, their downfall, I don't think they'll ever recover, because unless they would have, number one, there'd have to be more time. I don't believe there's a lot of time left. So even, let's say there was more time, it would take them ages to be able to change things back to being England. Right now, it's some kind of smorgasbord of mainly every day being pushed further towards being, you know, a Muslim nation, so to speak. The Muslims are basically taking over, and along with the leftists, back to you. Yeah, England has fallen.
Yes, and so we can only expect that this nation will follow in the same boat, and I don't think it'll take very long after this. The code says 5782, which translates to 2021 or 2022, as to when these things would take place. I get a little nervous about future codes. But this is what
here's one thing. Look, let me, for the people, let me say this. Here's one thing. Number one, I absolutely believe we're in the end times. I can't put a date on it, but I will say this about America, and actually I'll say it about Donald Trump. I believe absolutely that Donald Trump was an answer to prayers, in order, because of all the people that screamed out wanting more time for world events not yet to happen before the Antichrist and all of those bad things happening. And so that Donald Trump was given to us to give us some more time. How much time really depends on the people. And in fact, Sundar Salvaraz and some other people have said that, and I didn't even know it till recently, and I found out they had visions on it, but I've been saying it all along, that Trump is an answer to prayers. But unless we keep praying for him and standing up for him, then it won't be 8 years, it'll be the 4 years, and then everything will come. But let's go with this. At some point, whether Trump's the president or who is, at some point, while right now America is trying to help Israel, and I believe that's part big reason why we're being blessed, at some point, America will either not be able to defend Israel or be willing to defend Israel, because Israel will have to call out to Yahweh in order to be saved. And that is the point, and when Yeshua will come and return and save them. But they can no longer rely on America, and they relied on America ever since they can't be brought back and were formed as a country like the Father did, fulfilling prophecy. Back to you. We got about 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I did when I did the code before was I asked myself, well, we've got all these Islamic places on the Temple Mount right now. What is it going to take to get rid of them? You just can't go take a bunch of dynamite and blow these buildings up without creating an uproar. And so that was my last little quest with this, was to, how are they going to do that? And the answer came in a very interesting way. It turned out that there would be an earthquake. The land is susceptible to earthquakes. And if you've ever studied Nikola Tesla's stuff, and Tesla is in this code, but he invented an earthquake machine and actually used it in 1936. In fact, he got himself sued for it because he messed up a few buildings around where he was testing his earthquake machine. So I'm sure they have expanded on that.
Well, amen, and they could very well do that, but there's a couple of plans in place. One, if they're part of the peace plan that they're talking about is turning over all, okay, now that Israel has declared themselves a nation, before they weren't in their own legality, they couldn't do anything with the Temple Mount. The way that things have changed now since Jerusalem's declared their capital, they've changed things in the Knesset, and technically now they're legal to take control over the Temple Mount. Number two, they're talking about, right now, they're talking about turning over all the holy sites in Jerusalem to the control of Saudi Arabia, who this Saudi Arabia right now is wanting to build a temple, and they're not talking about tearing down the others because, you know, that's 35 acres. They're talking about building this new temple on the Temple Mount alongside of the others. And they have for some time. So that the destruction of the temple may not even have to be in the picture from the way that they're talking about it. We should know more. Some of the stuff is supposed to start coming out after the next election in Israel on April 9th. Back to you. Got about 2 minutes.
Okay, yeah. I would suggest to people that they visit the website and look at the codes and after what I've heard today, and I've heard quite a bit. I will do a little more research, and when I get some research, I'll send it to you, and we'll...
Yeah, and you know, I wish you really would do something on the copper scroll thing. I think that might be dynamite. I really, really do, Tom. And I don't mean to interrupt you because we've got short time, but I really have got a feeling about this copper scroll thing. And I know you're the guy to do a Bible code on it and do a little bit of research on it because you're a great researcher. So please do something on that. Maybe that we're scheduled for another program. I don't know. It's in about a week or something. I don't know.
14th.
The 14th. Yeah, that'll be the second week in next month. I know because that'll be the day that my wife's gone. That's what I scheduled you for. But anyway, tell them where they can find you, and we'll talk again. And make sure, folks, you go over and look at this research on this last Bible code that he did. Okay, you tell them the website, and we'll say goodbye.
Okay, it's Copper Earth. It's BibleCodes.co. It's, and just if you want to contact me, it's Tom@WhiteStoneFoundation.org. And if you have people have ideas on what this copper scroll code might say, send it to me. I will consider everything. It may turn up, it may not. I don't know. But I'm definitely going to do a little research, and whatever I find, I put up on the website so everybody can see it.
All right. Great. And I'm looking forward to it because there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that, believe me, brother, that little bits and pieces are coming more and more springing out every day about all this. And there is an underlying, the temple is almost a done deal. I can almost guarantee it. Almost, not guarantee it. Anyway, I love you, brother. I'll be glad when you come back on. Goodbye and shalom.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, folks, that was Professor Tom Mack, retired, and he's Bible code research. He's great on it, and he also has a publishing company. If you've got a book that you think that you may want to get published, contact him. Folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really, really do need your help. $100 to sponsor a meal for a day for the people. Pray about it. But pray about radio. You like this the research that we're doing and the people we're putting out. Support radio so we can stay on the air. But we must remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Word says that we should. And it also is praying for Yeshua's return, because there will be no real peace anywhere until he returns. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please, Father, be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.